God is faithful, first of all, providing needs. He is faithful providing needs. We see this in the opening four verses. Look at this. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Notice verse number 3, the Bible says they did all eat the same spiritual meat. Then it says they all drank the same spiritual drink. Now, the Lord is referring back to the journey of the Israelites through the wilderness. He's referring back to when he took them through the Red Sea, and then they wandered in the wilderness because of their own disbelief, but they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And during that time, get this, he providentially met their needs. He took care of his chosen people. As a matter of fact, we see, first of all, under this, he provided food. Now, I know that this is basic truth tonight, okay, that God provided food. But you know, sometimes we neglect to even think about that. And what I mean by that is we know that in John 6:31, the Bible says our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. The Bible says in Exodus 16:35, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came under the borders of the land of Canaan. And it's interesting when you study the book of Joshua, which we have done, but if you study the book of Joshua, the manna did not cease until they were in the promised land ready to eat what was growing in the promised land. They did not miss one day worth of meals. Not one day. God took care of them. Psalm 105 verse 40, the people asked and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He fed them quails, he fed them manna. All I'm saying to you, he provided what they needed. Then secondly under this, he provided water. The Bible says they all drank of the spiritual drink, and that spiritual drink, that rock that followed them was Christ. Now no doubt that this is a reference to Exodus 17:6. Well, the Bible says, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. This is God speaking to Moses. And he said, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. Psalm 78:15. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. The Bible says in Psalm 105:41, he opened the rock and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. God was faithful providing Israel's needs. Nehemiah chapter 9 verses 15 and 21. And gave us them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought us forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness so that they lacked nothing. Let me remind you, the bottom line, and the Word of God identifies this here. It identifies it in the book of Philippians 4:19 over and over again. The bottom line is God is faithful providing the needs of His people. There's no question about that. I want you to think with me tonight, how much food has God provided for you? How much drink has God provided for you? I'm telling you, God is a faithful God to take care of our needs. Whatever needs you have, God is faithful to provide that need. The Bible says it in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs. Now, it's interesting that whenever you hear that verse quoted or even see that verse in print, automatically we think about money. Automatically, my financial needs. But I remind you, friends, that our bodies, we have many needs. We have spiritual needs. We have emotional needs. We do have financial needs. We have spiritual needs. On and on we can go. And I'm telling you, whatever need you have, God is faithful to meet that need 100% of the time. Somebody says, why is he not meeting my needs? I would respond by saying this, check your own bills. And make sure you're not spending what God has given you on something you don't really need. Amen, friends. You know what happens sometimes? Sometimes people take what God provides for them to meet their needs, then they spend it on something else, and then they say, I don't have any money. Why is God not taking care of me? And I could just see God saying, what? I have taken care of you. Listen to me. He said, He has his riches to meet our needs, not our wants, but our needs. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting something you want if you have extra to do it with. And if you have tithe, and if you have given your offerings, and if you're supporting Faith Promise, help yourself. But if you're doing anything else without doing that first, I'm telling you, listen, don't blame God for that. I'm saying God is faithful to provide our needs. I can look back in my life and see over and over again how God has met my needs. Over and over again. And if you'll be honest, every one of us here today, I'm not asking, has your life been a bed of roses? I mean, have you always had money in the bank? I'm not asking any of that. I'm asking this, has God met your needs? Sure He has. He always has, always will, because He's faithful to do just that. I'm telling you, He's faithful, number one, to provide our needs. Number two, He was faithful to Israel and will be faithful in us, not only to provide needs, but secondly, to punish sin. God is faithful, and He will 100% of the time meet our needs. But He will also 100% of the time punish our sin. You cannot get by with sin. Nobody can. Matter of fact, I'm going to plow towards something here just to show you how serious he is about this. How faithful is God to punish sin? How faithful is He? We're going to plow towards that. Stay with me here just a moment. God was not only faithful to provide Israel's needs, but He was also faithful to punish their sin. They didn't get by with it. And neither will you, and neither will I. Now I want to show you some things here. Look at verse number 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. What's he saying here? Well, we see in verse number 6, he said they lusted after evil things. Psalm 106, 13 and 14 alludes to this. It says this, they soon forgot His works, talking about Israel. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. The Bible tells us in verse number 7 that they were idolaters. You can go back in Exodus chapter 32, verse 6 and look at that. Yet we see in verse number 8 that the Bible says they committed fornication. And it says they fell in one day, 23,000. 23,000 of them died in one day. See, this was a reference back to Numbers chapter 25, verse 1, where the Bible says the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and God took out 23,000 of them. Then in verse number 9, it says they tempted Christ and were destroyed of serpents. Now this sends us back to Numbers chapter 21. This is the reference in verses 5 and 6, where the Bible says the people spake against God and against Moses, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. That's the story where Moses would make a brazen serpent and so on. But don't miss the main thought in our text here. He's saying they tempted Christ, and He destroyed them with serpents. They committed fornication, and He killed 23,000 of them. He goes on in verse number 10, He said they murmured, and they were destroyed of the destroyer. This is a reference to Numbers chapter 14, verses 2 and 29. What am I saying here? In all of this, in verses 6 all the way down through verse number 12, what he's teaching is this. God is faithful to provide their needs, but He was also faithful to punish their sin. They did not get by with sin. If they sinned and they did not repent, they paid for it. And I'm telling you, God is always faithful to punish sin. The Bible says in Numbers 32, 23, be sure your sin will find you out. See, God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, did not get by with sin. And I guarantee you something, if Israel didn't get by with it, I'm not either. And you will not either. As a matter of fact, we see for non-believers that God is faithful to punish sin. Because the Bible says in Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, that is the payment of sin. It will be punished. It has earned a payment, and God always keeps His word. Revelation 20, verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How serious is God about punishing sin? That those who do not trust Christ, they will burn in hell forever. But let me go on and say this to you. Because this is just showing you how faithful God really is to punish sin. He is so faithful to punish sin that Isaiah 53, 6 says this, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let me tell you what I'm trying to get across. God is so faithful to punish sin that he punished his own son in order to pay for it. Let me tell you something. If somebody rejects Jesus Christ as their Savior, who are they to think that God will not punish them? God will punish sin 100% of the time. And if you are saved, He kept His faithfulness by punishing His Son in your place. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight, friends? And let me say this to you. 1 John 1, 9, written to Christians, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just, forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the only reason He can forgive His children to bring us back into fellowship. No, you're not getting saved again, you're just getting close to Him again. The only reason that He can forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness is because He took it all out on His Son, Jesus Christ. Glory to God for the Son of God's sacrifice. Taking the faithfulness of God to punish sin, He took my place and He took your place. Number one, God was faithful and He still is faithful to provide needs. He takes care of us physically. He's provided food for me. He's provided drink for me. He has sustained me. I'm 35 years old and the only reason I'm standing here is because God has met my needs. Period. Period. You say, wait a minute, your mom and daddy got all that. Yes, they sure did. But where'd they get it from? Somebody says, well, hey, they went and bought it. Where'd they get the money from? Well, it's from the Washington County Board of Education because that's where my dad comes. Wait a minute. Where does it all come from, friends? No matter where you say it, it all stops at the feet of Jesus Christ. He provides our needs. He's faithful to do that. He's faithful to punish our sin. But number three, He's also faithful to produce escape. Yes, He's faithful to provide needs. He's faithful to punish sin. But He's also faithful to produce escape. Let me explain what this is. Look at verse 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful, producing escape from temptation. Now, one thing we want to keep in mind, I'm going to explain this verse right here. One thing I want you to keep in mind is James 1:13. The Bible says this, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now, in keeping with that verse, that God tempts nobody. Now, we know that temptation is one of two things. It's either something wicked or it's like an adversity, a trouble. Now, I want to give you three things here for this verse to help us, because all of us are going to be hit with some kind of a temptation in our life. First of all, under this, let me give an explanation. What is he saying here? Notice the phrase, no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now let's look at this. What does the word temptation mean in this verse? The word temptation here means an adversity. It means a trial. It means a solicitation. That's what this word means. Now the two words taken you, there's no temptation taken you. Those two words taken you means to seize upon. It's as when an enemy grasps you and attempts to hold you. It's a picture, this is a powerful picture. But those two words called taken you means this. There has no trouble. Here's trouble. There's no trouble. There's no solicitation to evil. There's no adversity. There's no trial. There's nothing like that that has ever taken you. Here it is. I'm trying to paint a picture. If this microphone stand is you, now here's trouble. I know you agree with that sometimes, but here's trouble. Here's the trial. Here's the temptation. Here it comes. There's no trouble that has ever come up behind you and grabbed you by the throat. Nothing has ever grabbed you by the throat like this. But such is his common to man. What's that mean? The explanation is this. There is no adversity, no trying, no solicitation that has ever come up to grab you by the throat that every man on planet Earth at some time or another is going to experience something like that. You're not alone, in other words. Other people have been there. That's the explanation. Secondly, let me give you the encouragement. What's the encouragement? By the way, some of you walked in here today and you can't breathe. What I mean is something has you by the throat. Something's already snuck up on you and grabbed you by the throat. It's taken you. There it is. Struggling to breathe. That's the explanation. Let me give you the encouragement. Notice this. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. What is the encouragement? Now I want you to pray the Holy Spirit help you see this. Here's the encouragement. God is sovereign, even over the devil. Did you realize the devil must get permission? Read the book of Job. The devil must get permission before he can tempt you with anything. Get this. Satan doesn't even have the keys to his own house. Because the Bible says when Jesus rose from the dead, he took the keys of death and hell with him, friends. He's got the keys to the devil's house. The devil's locked out of his own home, friends. I want you to think with me here. Let God encourage your heart here. God, get this. God may allow something to happen, but he will never allow anything to happen that you cannot handle. He never will. Notice I did not say that God causes things to happen. Is everything that happens the will of God, yes or no? No. Aren't you glad it's not, friends? I mean, honestly, everything that happens is not the will of God. But even the devil came to present himself and he said, hey, the only reason Job is like that is because you've just built a hedge about him. Hey, let me touch him and let's see what happens. God says, okay, I'll allow it, but you save his life. Read it. It's a great mystery. We're not going to figure it all out, friends. I like what Tom Farrell said. You're going to tell me, hey, the Bible says that God is so big that the earth is his footstool. Are you going to tell me that you figured him out? We're not figured him out yet. But I'll tell you one thing I'm happy about. I'm happy about this. That whatever hits my life, God is making sure that there's an ability. It's not me, it's him, you understand, but there's an ability for it not to take me out. That ought to encourage you tonight, friends. I'm not saying it's not hard. And I'm not saying that you don't feel like throwing the towel in. And I'm not saying that sometimes you don't feel like you're beaten down and you can't breathe and you feel like this is it. But I'm telling you, the encouragement's this. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted? Above that you're able. The explanation, the encouragement. Number three, the escape. What is the escape? Don't you like it when you get out of it? Something happens, it's taking you by the throat. Don't you like it when you can finally take a good deep breath, just a good deep fresh breath of air? Sure. But notice the language of Scripture. The Bible says there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Notice it. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to get out of it. Is that what it says? Doesn't say get out of it. It says that you may be able to bear it. What's this mean? You know what the word bear means? It means to endure. Did you realize that there are some things that you and I go through that there's no way out of it? You can't run from it. You can't get away from it. You can't ignore it. You can't change it. But God has promised that with every single solitary temptation that life throws at you, whether it's from His hand, talking about just like a trial, or whether it's from the hand of the devil, wickedness, whichever way it is, every temptation, He's made a way of escape. And sometimes that way of escape is not getting out of it. It's going right through it. You ever heard this? You ever heard our preacher? That man's got so much wisdom, it's ridiculous. Honestly. I think he's got more wisdom in his pinky finger than I do in my body. And by the way, I still draw from that wisdom well. I'd be crazy if I didn't. Preacher, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Man, I love that man. Glory. Remember what he said before? God just plows. Sometimes there's a rock right there. And either he'll remove the rock, or he'll just plow right around it and keep going. You know what we want? We want all the rocks off the road. And sometimes God says no. Because I want to prove myself to you right here. What am I saying? I'm saying God is faithful to see you through anything the devil throws your way. The way of escape is God can help you carry it, so that it never becomes a solicitation to sin. Did you hear what I just said? Do you realize that a trouble that hits your life, if you don't handle it right, and if you don't allow the Lord to help you carry it, then it can lead to sin. You can respond wrong, in other words. Get this. Is it wrong to have a trouble come up behind you and grab you by the neck? Is that wrong to have that? No. We're in flesh. It's going to happen. It could be a sickness. It could be a trial. I don't know what it is. It's not wrong to have that. But get this. It becomes sin when you don't allow God, who is faithful, to see you through it. And instead you allow it to cause you to sinfully react. That's when it becomes sin. Easy to preach this. Not easy to preach. Now, don't get me wrong what I'm saying. Easy to preach this. Harder to live it. Amen, friends? Amen? It's not a sin to be taken by the throat. It's a sin if you start blaming God. Instead of going to God and say, Lord, I don't see any way of escape, but you promised. Please help me bear this. Please help me not to throw in a towel. God, help me, help me, help me, help me. somehow, some way. I can't explain it. I can't give you the equation, that plus that equals somehow, some way. Friends, God can see you through anything. Makes no difference what it is. Makes no difference what it is. I'm telling you, this is the encouragement. This is the escape. For instance, when we give in to the temptation, it's not that we're a victim. Well, if that didn't happen to me, then I wouldn't be like this. You're not a victim. You're not a victim. If you give in to temptation, you and I made a wrong decision somewhere down the road. We made a choice purposely to turn against God. And if you do, it's going to lead to sin. We choose not to turn to God, but rather give in to our own heart, our own lust, whatever the case may be. Let me give you a Bible example of what I'm trying to say here. That the way of escape for many of these things that take us by the neck is you can't get out of it. You can't get away from it. You have to just endure it and go through it. What about when the brave young Jews were tried by King Nebuchadnezzar? There is one way by which they can have been kept out of the burning fiery furnace. They had only to bow their knees. By the way, that's what I'm talking about. Their decision was, will I bow or will I not? You with me? To the world, that was the way of escape. Just bow the knee. But get this. That way of escape would have never worked. For it wasn't the right one, you see. The way for them was to be thrown into the furnace. And there to have the Son of God walking with them in the midst of the fire. You see what I'm saying? It's like this. Listen to me. When you are tempted with something, you are tempted to bow the knee because it just seems like, I'll do anything to get out of this. I'll do anything. And I'll start blaming God, whatever. I'll stop reading my Bible, whatever. And I'll start bowing the knee. But you find out in the long run, that was the wrong way to respond to that. But if you do what's right, those three Hebrews, those three Jews, they said this to King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. They said, listen, our God is able to deliver us. But if not, read it yourself. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, we will not bow to your image. They were doing the right thing. They didn't know Jesus was going to meet them in that furnace. All they knew is that they must choose the right way to respond. And when they responded right, did God know what he was going to do with them, yes or no? Sure he did. They would have never experienced it if they bowed the knee over here. Perhaps your child is sick. Perhaps your spouse is sick. Perhaps you're sick. Perhaps you've had a trial hit you and come up and grab you around the throat, and it's never anything that you ever imagined. What I'm saying is get on your face and beg God to help you endure. Somehow, some way, if you respond right, God will see you through it. I'm telling you, I can't tell you how he's, I don't know how he's going to do it. But I know he can carry you through anything in life. And you can come out on the other side looking back and say, oh, I get it now. I see it. Charles Spurgeon, he tells this story. Here's what it says. Recently I received a letter from a man of God which encouraged me greatly. He says, and he quotes this man, here's what the man said. He's talking to Charles Spurgeon. He said, my dear brother, I was sorry to hear that you were again in pain and depressed in spirit and so forth. Now this is Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He died in his 50s. God used that man in wonderful ways. But here he is, he's depressed in spirit. He's in pain. That mighty man of faith. And he says this, he said, I was sorry to hear all this about you. But as I remembered how God had blessed you in so many ways, I thought to myself, perhaps Mr. Spurgeon would not have kept preaching the doctrines of grace and would not have been so able to comfort God's poor people if he did not experience these painful trials. So, this is Spurgeon talking to himself. He said, I congratulate you on these trials. This man said, I was sorry to hear that you were in pain. I was sorry to hear that you were depressed in spirit. But I just got to thinking, God's been so good to you, sir, that maybe you'd have stopped preaching the doctrines of grace, and maybe you wouldn't have been able to help the poor people around the city like you've been helping them if God didn't allow some trials to hit your life. So he wrote that letter to say, congratulations on your troubles. Congratulations on your troubles. And Charles Spurgeon said this, I accepted the congratulation. Won't you do the same, my afflicted brother or sister? Pray, this is Spurgeon speaking, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if it must not, and here comes that other form of comfort, then I pray that I may be able to stand up under it. In other words, Spurgeon's saying this, when something hits your life, and it's a major trial, why don't you get on your face and say, Lord, please let this cup pass from me. But if not, please help me stand up under it. Don't let me fall. Don't let me throw in the towel. Let me be faithful. May I remind you, friends, listen to me. In your flesh, that's an impossibility. You can never, listen, you will never respond right to trials in your flesh. Never. Because your flesh governs in the realms of the sensual. If it feels good, I'll do it. If it doesn't, I'm trying to get away from it. Hey, if you get close to a fire and it burns you, what are you going to do? Well, that feels good. Let me go ahead and stick the other hand in there. No. As soon as you feel pain, what do? You flee back. You get away. That's flesh. God says this, I know there's fires in this life. And every now and then the devil's going to get my permission to throw you into one of them. But I'm faithful in the flames. And when you feel like it's burning your whole skin off your body, if you'll respond right, you'll come out more like me on the other side. This is what he's saying. Friends, you cannot respond right to trials and not be in the Word of God. You must be in it every day of your life. You cannot respond right to trials and not be a prayer warrior, if you will, somebody who prays. You cannot be right with God and respond right to trials if you don't take the shield of faith. You know what the shield of faith is? It's believing God. What's the devil try to do whenever trouble hits you? Whenever trouble hits your life, what's he try to do? He tries to get you to doubt God. Let's just say it the way it is, friends. He tries to get you to doubt His Word, doubt His love, doubt His justice, doubt His existence. We're all on, at least I'm just putting on the bottom level tonight. He tries to get you to question God. The shield of faith says this, I don't understand this trial, and it's the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life. 1 Corinthians 10:13 told me that God is faithful. Somehow, some way, He can help me endure this. We all need to understand that truth, friends. All of us. God is faithful, providing needs, punishing sin, producing escape. And may I say to you that if you're breathing, you're battling. Hebrews 2:18, for in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor. That word succor means to aid, relief, or help them that are tempted. In other words, you say, nobody understands what I'm going through. Really? Really? The Bible says there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. The Bible says that He was tempted in all these ways, yet without sin. And all I'm saying to you is that we serve a faithful God. He's faithful in the good things. He's faithful to punish sin. He's faithful to carry you through any trial that the devil tries to throw in your life. So I ask you these questions, and we're coming to a close. What need do you have tonight? I mean, it's really a need. It's not a want. It's a need. What need do you have? I'm here to report God is faithful to provide that need. I ask you this question. Are you living in sin? Well, I hope not. In a crowd this size, it's possible that somebody could be living in sin. In other words, they know in their heart that there's things not right. And maybe up to this point they think, hey, I'm getting by with it. I'm here to announce, on behalf of God, God is faithful to punish sin. And if he's not punished yours yet, it's because he's leaving an open door of grace to you. But that door will slam shut before long. And I ask you this, are you under a temptation? Has something snuck up behind you? And it's taking you by the throat? And it's trying to squeeze the life out of you? I'm here to announce, on behalf of God, that he is faithful no matter what has its hands around your throat. He will not let it suck the life out of you. It may wear you down. It may wear you out. It may make you tired. It may make you struggle for a while. But he will not let it be so strong that it takes you out. If you respond right. You get it? This is the message. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 13. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you and thank you for this night. Speak to us. Challenge us from your word. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. I'm just going to work straight down through it here. One question that's not in front of me, but I'm going to ask it now because I never want to take it for granted. Maybe you're like that little girl who trusted Christ this morning, or maybe you're like that gentleman who's laying in the hospital, who's nearing the death angel, if you will. Still rejecting Christ. What an awful way. What an awful way to leave this world. As they began to play through softly, I ask, are you a child of God? You truly trusted Christ? Are you a believer? Has the Lord changed your life? If not, come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. How many nights say, Jody, I have a need? I mean, I have a real need. A real need. It's not a want. It's a real need. And I want you to pray that God will help me to have the faith to trust him. Let me say, I've got a real need in my life, and that's the point that I needed. I needed that point tonight, that God is faithful to provide needs. Have you have a real need like that? Would you raise your hand, be honest about it? God bless you. Well, that's a lot of hands. I remind you, as you put your hands down, God is faithful to provide needs. I didn't say faithful to provide wants. You may be wanting him to take it out of your life, but the fact is, God may know that this is something that will make you better. I don't know. Have you not say, Jody, there's a sin in my life. It may not be anything wicked, or we all sin's wicked, but you understand what I'm saying to you. And you say, you tonight may be saying, you know, God is speaking to me under the second point that he is faithful to punish sin. And there's something in my life that really needs to be out. Maybe you're doing something you shouldn't do, or maybe you're not doing something you should do. Maybe your sin is sins of omission, not reading the Bible, not praying, not being faithful. I don't know what it is, but if God's speaking to you in that way, say, Jody, pray for me. There's a sin in my life that I don't want God to punish it. I don't want God to have to punish it. I want to confess it, forsake it, so he'll have mercy. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Be honest about it. God bless you. Every night say, Jody, I'm going to be honest. That third point tonight about producing escape, talking about a trial that just comes up and grabs you by the throat. It's taking you. And I mean, all there it is. You can't get away from it. It's trying to suck the life out of me. And you say, Jody, tonight, I'm sitting here tonight. I've come to church tonight, and I've had a trial like that hit me. I'm not asking, have you had it, and now it's gone. I'm saying you're carrying that trial tonight. I mean, it has its hands currently, present tense, on your throat. I mean, it's trying to take you out. Maybe you have something like that in your life. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person about that. God bless you. I don't know what that is. Lord God is helping me tonight, showing me the great privilege I have to stand in His stead and just tell you, it may hurt, it may be hard to breathe, but it is not, I repeat, it is not stronger than God. And the Lord can help you endure. He really, really can. Why don't you come and ask God to help you respond right? Stay in the Bible. Stay faithful to prayer. Even when you don't feel like it's doing it, just stay faithful, stay faithful, stay faithful. And somehow, some way, God will see you through. So if you want to come and bring your need to the Lord, if you want to come and bring your temptation, let's all stand, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, take it. Use this thought in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing.
Yield not to temptation.
Maybe you have a real need.
Maybe
you have a temptation that's taken you around the throne. Whatever it is, leave your seat. Come talk to God about it. Talk to the Lord about it. Ask God to help you. That you do provide our needs. We praise you for that. Thank you that you're faithful in punishing sin. Because if we knew we could get by with sin, Lord, there's no telling what we creatures would do. Help us to understand this. Thank you, Lord, for producing escape. No matter what takes us by the throat, you can and will help those who respond right. You will help us endure and bear and go through. Help those tonight who are carrying one of these burdens. Give them victory. Help those who have a real need to trust you and your providing hand. Bless now, I pray, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Remind all the deacons, if you'll just meet me right here just for a few minutes. God bless you, folks. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming tonight. Try to bring somebody with you on Sunday, okay?